All right, well, good morning, everyone. And welcome to our weekly gathering. So we will begin our weekly gathering, as we always do, by giving you all the opportunity to greet one another on the board. I will share my screen so I can play our theme song for us. So it's good to be with you all. I usually have everything printed out, and I'm at my mother's house in La Vida, where I don't have a printer, so everything is on the computer. I keep opening the wrong file. Let me try this one more time. There we go. That's the file I wanted. All right, so let me begin by sharing our statement of purpose. And what I chose today as the statement of purpose is our actual purpose, not one of our core values. And this is our purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. I'm going to say the same thing again, just in a shorter way. The purpose here at Awakening Together is awakening to one true self. We seek to discern that one truth and rest in its embrace. Before we get to the spiritual part of our weekly gathering, I want to share some announcements. The first one is just kind of an update. As you guys know, for the last week or so, we've been under cyber attack. It began a week ago on Friday. And it's interesting because, of course, we've learned a lot in the last week. At first, when the cyber attack began, we didn't even know what it was. You know, we didn't even know it was a cyber attack. But as we went forward, we learned that it was a cyber attack. We also learned that the vulnerability that allowed the hackers to get in came in through the forum. And as we learned that, we set about trying to upgrade the forum to the newest version, which would have the security patches that are necessary. But that actually took several days to do. And the reason that took several days to do is because the attack itself deleted files. And so the upgrade couldn't just happen. You know, it's kind of like there had to be a partial rebuild, at least to get some files replaced, and then an upgrade could happen. And in the amount of time that it was taking to try and replace the files, you know, so what would basically happen is I would get up in the morning, I would have notification that we had malware, I would call SiteLock, they would begin a clean. Once they got a clean, you know, once they got it clean again, and they would send me a statement saying we were clean, we would then attempt to start the upgrade on the forum. But before we could get it upgrade, because of the complications of deleted files, the malware would come back. And it was like a daily process. And it was a little bit interesting from my point of view, because I learned the pattern of the malware. Like, I learned it comes in, it deletes this, and then it deletes this, and then it deletes this. And so what happened was I got better and better at recovering on a daily basis. But I'm not able to, I don't have the technical know-how to replace the missing files that were deleted from the forum and to do the updates. We were dependent on other people for that who had other priorities. But eventually we got it done. Yay! Eventually we got the forum rebuilt so that it has, so the update could happen, so that the hole was plugged. We also upgraded to the highest package that SiteLock offers, which is called Infinity, which instead of just one scan a day, it is constant scanning. And instead of just instead of charging us $100 every time they clean it, it's now unlimited free cleanings. Now, hopefully there'll never ever be another cyber attack. But what's also nice about the package that we got from SiteLock is we got the nonprofit pricing, and we're locked into the pricing, which means as future years go forward and they raise their prices, our prices will never go up. So it's around $1,000 a year, but the current pricing for that same package is $3,000 a year. So we're doing pretty well. So what's lingering now is our discussion forum had some customizations to it. And of course, we ended up getting a vBulletin, which is the company that owns the forum, to help us get back in shape, but they don't do the customizations. So now our local team, which is Aggie and Jay and Jacqueline, they have to determine what customizations to put back in and what to do. So, you know, may notice some differences in the meantime, but yeah, we should be out of that re-attack mode and kind of back in business. So just wanted to share that as my first announcement. And there I go opening the wrong file again. And I did it again. It's funny. Let's see, one more try. Okay, so my next announcement. Oh yeah, yesterday, October 5th, was the 1 year anniversary of the Awakening Together Retreat House. We bought the retreat house on October 5th, 2018. And it was interesting because yesterday was Oktoberfest in La Vida, which is really La Vida's biggest day of the year for bringing the public in. You know, there's bands, there's booze, there's a car show, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And yesterday when I was walking around the Oktoberfest, let me back up and just tell you a brief story. When we bought the retreat house, one of the things we were real excited about is there was a St. Francis statue out front. But about a week after we purchased the retreat house, the St. Francis statue disappeared. And we don't really know where it went. My assumption was that the previous owners decided they wanted it and came back and got it. But because, you know, theft isn't really a thing here in La Vida. But all we know for sure is that it disappeared. And so we've always kind of wanted to replace that, put another St. Francis statue there. But when we go looking for them, even the fairly small ones, you know, like a couple feet tall, are like $250. You know, they're just, we just haven't found one because they're so expensive. And also we need something heavy here because it can get quite windy here. Well, yesterday, while walking through the Oktoberfest, I saw the St. Francis statue, and I went up and I asked how much, and they said $80. And I was so excited. And it's made out of concrete. It's very heavy. So we ended up purchasing that yesterday, and I just thought it was kind of cool, you know, that we replaced our St. Francis statue on our anniversary date. So St. Francis was our anniversary gift to ourselves, and it is now placed in front of the retreat house. So next time you come, you'll see St. Francis standing right outside. I thought that was kind of fun. It's also our very first fall retreat held at the retreat house is going to happen in a couple of weeks, just a year after we got the retreat house. And of course, you know, a year ago, we had an empty house. We had no furniture. We had no dishes. You know, so, and also since then, a lot of people have moved to the community. So quite a bit has occurred in just 1 year. It really kind of boggles the minds. We've had several retreats. You know, it's just amazing if you pause and really contemplate what all has happened at the retreat house since last October 5th. It's pretty amazing. And so I'm really excited to see what occurs in the coming year as well as the years that follow. But I just wanted to acknowledge our anniversary and say happy anniversary to everyone here. Another thing I wanted to bring up is one of the things we have done recently is we have started what's called a retreat house sustaining subscriber option. And the real reason we started this option is because we're getting a larger community in La Vida. More people are moving there, it seems like, all the time. And, you know, our pricing is really focused on people not living there. Our pricing is focused on, because, you know, originally, I honestly didn't foresee people moving there. That thought never occurred to me. So our pricing is based on lodging and that type of thing in order to support the retreat house. And now we have a bunch of people that have their own houses and have absolutely no reason to lodge there. and yet they use the retreat house. In fact, you can see several of them there now. Go ahead and wave everybody at the retreat house. So we determined we needed a new pricing structure that took into account that we have locals. And so primarily for the locals, we created what is called the sustaining subscriber. And we actually gave, because we know people have different levels of income, and we're well aware of that, we gave three levels to choose from. You can pay the $50 monthly, $75 monthly, or $100 monthly based on what you can afford. And we also know that the locals volunteer. So we actually consider their volunteer work a part of their subscribing rate, to be honest. So we figure the volunteer work that they do, which we really appreciate, plus the subscribing rate, that is their contribution to the retreat house in lieu of lodging like everyone else pays when they come to help support the retreat house. But then after we started building this subscriber rate, we thought, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe some people who don't live here would also like to be a sustaining subscriber. And if so, you know, the locals are kind of getting something for it. They're getting unlimited use of the retreat house, and they also get one meal a month with guests. But then we should give a gift to the non-locals if they would like to help sustain the retreat house with a monthly donation. So what we decided to do, since lodging is how you support the retreat house when you come, we decided to give you a discount on that lodging. So if the non-locals choose to be a sustaining subscriber, then you get 15% off your lodging when you do come. And hopefully this gives everybody a chance to support the retreat house in the way that fits them and also gives them a gift for that support that really fits them. I'm going to share my screen for just a moment, and I'm going to open up the Awakening Together website. So if you'd like to become a sustaining subscriber, you just go to Retreat House, be a sustaining subscriber. It's that simple. And then you'll notice right here, it tells you about the two gifts. There's gift one, which is really best suited to locals, but anybody can choose gift one if you want to. Or you can choose gift two, which is the 15% discount. Just to let you know, you don't get both. So let's say you decide to spend half a year in La Vida for some reason, and you buy your own little place here. It wouldn't be the local gift while you're here and then the 15% while you're not here. You know, you kind of choose one gift and that's the gift you get. And then you'll notice you can pick your monthly amount. So you can choose gift one or gift two for $50, gift one or gift two for $75, and gift one or gift two for $100. And then, of course, we keep track of that. And so if you're a local, we know you've paid your sustaining subscriber rate. And then what that frees you up from, right now we actually have a $25 per day rate, which means even if you come to the retreat house to watch a weekly gathering, according to the standards, you're supposed to be paying $25. But if you have the gift one sustaining subscriber, you don't do that, right? And if you're a non-local, then when you come, we will automatically give you that 15% discount on lodging. So that's my final announcement for the day. And so what I want to do next is bring us into a song, which will bring us into the devotional portion of our weekly gathering. Now, I'll tell you just up front so that you understand this song clearly. The gathering today is going to be about gossip. And so I went out and I found a really fun song about gossip. So let's have a look at that song. And this is by the Hazchak Sisters. It's a cute little song. The name of the song is Gossip, or Gossip Girl, I believe. It's Gossip Girl.
Somebody is spreading a crazy rumor about me.
Wait, let me see. Oh, yeah, that's bad.
I wonder who would do that.
Do you see what she's wearing?
Did you hear that? Did he get in trouble?
What did he say?
Well, I heard they're not dating anymore.
I heard that he got sent to the principal's office.
I heard that they secretly date, but nobody likes him, so they're taking a break.
No way.
My guess is you probably know, but she changes boys like she changes her clothes.
Did you hear that?
I heard that it's what we predict. She couldn't go to the party because her parents are strict.
What?
I'ma say it, but you can't tell. I heard his brother got in trouble and her mama's in jail.
These are my words. People say it's not true, but bang, what I heard.
Can you keep a secret? I got all the scoop, but you better not repeat this.
Did you hear about the recent rumor that they whispered in your ear like? Get a load of this. You will not believe all the dirt I got in this fight. Girl, I gotta know. Gotta get the gossip when we talk on the phone night.
What?
Buzz around the world. I don't wanna be a gossip girl.
No gossip girl.
I keep my mouth wide shut, ears to the street. I heard a rumor about you, tell me that ain't so. Now there's a couple little things you might like to know.
So give me the gossip, the good stuff, the scoop on these females. The rumors, the stories, don't spare me those details.
I gotta fill you in on all the topics.
Stop it, go ahead and drop it. I don't wanna gossip.
These are my words, people say it's not true, but bang what I heard.
That's right.
Can you keep a secret? I got all the scoop, but you better not repeat this.
Did you hear about the recent rumor that they whispered in your ear like?
Get a load of this, you will not believe all the dirt I got in this fight.
Girl, I gotta know, gotta get the gossip when we talk on the phone night.
Buzz around the world, I don't wanna be a gossip girl.
No gossip girl,
yep.
I don't wanna hang around and gossip girl, cause that's toxic girl. Every time you come around and gossip girl.
It's just a game. But the problem with gossip, if it ain't true, is that the next thing you hear may be about you. You.
Did you hear about the recent rumor that they whispered in your ear like?
Get a load of this. You will not believe all the dirt I got in this fight.
Really?
Girl, I gotta know. Gotta get the gossip when we talk on the phone night.
Buzz around the world. I don't wanna be a gossip girl.
Don't gossip girl.
Why don't we go into our prayer, our invocation? So, first of all, I feel to express gratitude for the silence. And what I notice is that the silence is always present. Sometimes we miss placing attention on the silence because we place attention on the content that is within the silence. My prayer is that we will remember to place our attention with the silence more. Even while there's content that seems to be right in front of us, that instead of letting our attention get fully absorbed into the content, that we keep some hanging back, aware of the silence, resting in the silence, listening to the silence, abiding in the silence, being the silence. Amen. And now what I would like to do is introduce our reading for the day. Cheryl Kaplan is going to be our reader, and she's going to read an excerpt from the story of Robert Adams and Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. And this story is given to us as told by Ramana Maharshi's grandnephew, Ganeshan. So I will release the mic for Cheryl.
Good morning, everyone. As the editor of Ramana Ashram, Mountain Path, I was interested in all of the 1993 issues with stories about aspirants who had experienced self-realization in the presence of Bhagavan. After reading Robert Adams' manuscript, I was particularly interested in publishing the story of his experience of self-realization. So I asked him to contribute an article. I knew that new aspirants pursuing self-realization would find personal accounts like his similar to what many other devotees had experienced in Bhagavan's presence. Tremendously encouraging in their own pursuit of the path of wisdom. In reply, Robert Adams graciously sent me a long letter. I am Robert Adams. I was born in New York in 1928, and from the very beginning, as far as back as I can remember, when I was in a crib, a little man with a gray beard and white hair, about 2 feet tall, would appear before me at the other end of the crib and speak gibberish to me. Of course, being a child, I did not understand anything he said. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I told my parents about it, and they thought I was playing games. I told my friends, and they chuckled. So I stopped saying anything about it. The apparitions of the little man stopped when I was about 7. And that, what I just wrote, was in quotes. Robert Adams also added that he did not know what to do. He didn't want to tell anyone about these unusual experiences, nor about the even stranger experiences that followed. Whenever he wanted something, whether a pencil or a chocolate or even a particular item like a violin, it would appear whenever he uttered the name God 3 times. In the classroom, if someone wanted a pencil, he would say God 3 times, and the pencil would appear. And he would give it to the person who needed it. The same thing happened during tests. He didn't like to study, so when he sat down to take a test, he would utter God three times, and the answers would appear before him, and he would write them and pass. On one final mathematics examination, for which Robert had not studied, while holding the question paper, he said, God three times, expecting the answers to be given to him as always. But suddenly, something altogether different happened. In quotes, subjectively, the whole room appeared filled with light more brilliant than the sun. It was a beautiful, shining, warm glow. And the whole room, along with everything and everyone, was immersed in the light. And all the children seemed to me mere particles of that light. I found myself melting into radiant being consciousness. I merged into immaculate awareness. It was not an out-of-body experience. This was completely different. I realized I was not my body. What appeared to be my body was not real. I went beyond the light into pure, radiant consciousness, and I became consciousness. And my individuality merged into pure and absolute bliss. I became the universe. The feeling is indescribable. It was total bliss and total joy. End of quote. After this experience, Robert Adams' life was not normal. As a teenager, maybe 14 or 15 years old, he felt the need for guidance. Some of his friends suggested that he go to Joel Goldsmith, a famous Christian and true mystic. Joel Goldsmith had been in correspondence with Arthur Osborne and me. He heard Robert's story and advised him to go to Paramahamsa Yogananda, who was in Encinitas, and he said, he will guide you. Robert Adams went to Encinitas and full of interest, ecstasy, and excitement, and was instantly captivated by the spiritual splendor and aura of Paramahamsa Yogananda. Robert told me that although he was just a teenage boy among many other people who were there, the moment he set foot on the ground outside, called him secretary and said, there is a young boy, call him in. Robert prostrated to Yogananda and said, you are my guru. Yogananda said, no, I am not your guru. Your guru is Sri Ramana Maharshi. Ramana Maharshi is not well. You should go to him immediately. After leaving Yogananda, Robert happened upon a copy of Who Am I? In the philosophy section of a library. Ramana Maharshi's picture was on the cover. When Robert saw the image, his hair stood on end because he recognized that face as the same one he has seen in his crib as a toddler. He wasted no time finding his way to Bhagavan. And here he describes his first encounter with the Maharshi. In quotes, when I was 18 years old, I arrived at Arunachala. I took flowers and a bag full of fruits and offered them at his feet. Bhagavan looked at me and smiled, and I returned the smile. The very first look of the Maharshi engulfs me in a flood of light, peace, quietude, and bliss, and it opened an inner eye. I instantly recognized the meaning and purpose of all my experiences, that I was never a body, and that I was ever the unborn self, the eternal silence. The Maharshi exuded compassion, love, and bliss on the very first day. He looked at me and asked me whether I had eaten breakfast. When I said no, the Maharshi had the attendant bring fruits and porridge for me to eat. I lay down and went to sleep in the old hall, and when I woke up, the Maharshi guided me to a little shack and asked me to take rest. In the evening also, he sent food. I ate and again went to sleep. Maharshi paid keen attention to what was needed for my body to rest and relax. The next morning, end of quotes, by the way, the next morning, Robert went to the old hall to meet Bhagavan. And what happened in the presence of the Maharshi guided him deep within. The silence and quietude of Bhagavan engulfed him. When he entered the hall, Bhagavan's attendant, Krishna Swami, was pestering Bhagavan with complaints about people at the ashram. After tolerating this for a while, Bhagavan looked sternly at Krishna Swami and said, in quotes, "Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet." End of quote. This was the very first instruction Robert got from Bhagavan. Although it was directed to Krishna Swami, Robert felt it was actually meant for him. For the next 3 years, his focus was within, and he stayed in the state of silence and quietude. Never outwardly during this period, and outwardly in non-indulgence. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Let me go back. For the next 3 years, his focus was within, and he stayed in the state of silence and quietude, never outwardly indulging himself in other people's affairs. Inwardly, he was established in quietude during this period and outwardly in non-indulgence. There was no need for him to talk further to Bhagavan or to anyone else. That is why nobody knew Robert Adams, even though he stayed at Ramana Ashram for 3 years. Afterward, when I clarified this, one or two said that there was a young mad fellow by the name of Robert Adams. To that extent, he followed Bhagavan's teachings of non-indulgence with others. He was not talking and was doing practice all the time and remaining in that state. I want to thank you, Regina, for allowing me to read. And the first time I read it, I cried and I was getting choked up again. This is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl, for volunteering to be my reader. I appreciate that. So what's really interesting about this particular story to me is that what we hear near the end of the story is that at Ramana Ashram, which, you know, I mean, I can't imagine having the opportunity to go to Ramana Ashram when Ramana was still there, right? I mean, what an incredible opportunity to go and be with him. Ah, you know, what I would give for such an opportunity. But at Ramana Ashram, where this incredible opportunity occurred, what seemed to really be going on there was people gossiping and complaining about one another. People came to Ramana Ashram and continued to be people. And in fact, you know, I've read this entire book, which is 800 pages long, and you can see that there's a lot of that going on. And this is not only the visitors, but the residents, the people that came there and supported the ashram all of the time and were there all of the time. And here we have this teenager who comes to Ramana Maharshi and is sitting there being quiet near Ramana Maharshi when Ramana Maharshi has a conversation with his attendant. And his attendant is doing what everybody else does. His attendant, this is the person who gets to be with him the most. Imagine that. His personal attendant is doing what everybody else does and is complaining about others at the ashram. And Ramana Maharshi, being Ramana Maharshi, is quiet for a time, probably just not giving it attention. And then finally, Ramana Maharshi turns around and says to his attendant, "Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet. Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet." And that wasn't even directed at Robert Adams. That was directed to Ramana Maharshi's attendant, who was gossiping and complaining. And Robert Adams took that as his guidance. And he took it so seriously that he never even spoke to Ramana Maharshi again. He was there 3 years. He spent 3 years inwardly focused on his purpose. He remembered the purpose for which he came there. He attended to it, and he kept quiet to the point that years later, when Ganeshan was, you know, kind of researching Robert Adams and asked the other people who were there at the time, at first they didn't even remember him. And then they, oh, yeah, there was some mad fellow. Funny that they would refer to him as the mad fellow, the one who didn't get involved in the social aspect, in the gossip, in the complaining, in the humanness. They thought he was the mad fellow. Well, I'll just be honest with you guys. The reason I selected that is this particular week, early in the week, several stories of gossip reached my ears from within Awakening Together. And it just kind of happened all at once. I don't usually hear gossip at all, but there were like several. And it would be so-and-so told so-and-so told so-and-so who told me, and now I'm telling you, because you need to know, Regina. My response to that was, I'm not going to do anything about that. I don't even know if it's true by the time it went through 4 or 5 people to get to me. I want to tell you guys a story from my personal history. When I was 22 years old, I joined the Air Force. And one of the places that I first went to was a Goodfellow Air Force Base in San Angelo, Texas. I went there for technical training to learn my job before my first assignment. I was there for like 9 months. It's a small little base, so everybody gets to know each other, right? And while I was there, during a regular physical, there was a test result that came back that indicated that I might have cancer. And so I needed to be sent away. We didn't have a military hospital there. I needed to be sent away to a military hospital for further tests, which included a minor surgery. And the Air Force has a rule, or at least they did then, I don't know if they've changed it, but the rule was if you had any surgery at all, you then had to take 6 weeks off to recover. And I actually probably could have been back within a couple of days, but rules are rules. So one of the things that was happening as I was preparing for this surgery was I was going into our first sergeant. He's kind of like the head of all of the students at this technical school. I kept going into our first sergeant and filling out different paperwork and making arrangements and all of that. And finally the time came and I went away and I had the surgery, which was only 24 hours in the hospital. But then I had 6 weeks off. So I went home, you know, I had a wonderful time at home. And I came back at the end of the 6 weeks and there was a rumor. The rumor was that I had had an affair with the first sergeant, that I had become pregnant, and that I'd gone away to have an abortion. and everybody believed it. I couldn't even imagine how such a rumor would get started. When I was that young, I thought maybe somebody just did it out of viciousness. But as I got older and I observed human nature, I realized that may not have been the case at all. What I notice is that people make stuff up and believe what they made up, and they don't even notice they made it up. They don't even notice they made it up. You know, they see some evidence, like maybe someone observed me going into the first sergeant's office a lot as I was preparing, you know, signing all the papers. And a thought enters their mind, oh, I wonder if they're having an affair. And then they turn around, they tell someone else, you know, I think it's possible, you know, something's going on there with Regina and the first sergeant. Well, another thing I observed is that people don't hear exactly what's said hardly ever. Almost ever, every person that hears something changes it a little and doesn't even know they changed it. And so the one person who maybe made up this idea and shared it as a possibility, I think maybe they're having an affair, the person they told heard it as, they're having an affair, right? And then that gets passed on as they're having an affair. Well, then somebody else, noticing Regina's gone, well, then she must have gotten pregnant. You know, I mean, why else would she be gone? And you know, this whole story gets made up and everybody's believing it. And it has zero truth to it. Zero. One of the rumors that I heard this week, and I'm not going to get specific, but one of the rumors that I heard this week, I do happen to know the facts. And so I know that the story is completely untrue. And yet the people telling it believe it and continue to tell it. Also, it's interesting, Jacqueline and I had a couple conversations this week, one in which where she told me something, and a couple days later, I said back to her what I literally thought I heard, and I'm just talking to the person who told me. I'm not even gossiping, right? And she's like, that's not what I said. And we're like, see? See how people don't hear clearly? And then there was another time when Jacqueline and I were with a third person who told us something, and later we're discussing what she told us, and neither one of us heard the same thing. We both thought we heard something different. So you can kind of see just from these examples how out of innocence, gossip gets started, rumors get started, and things that aren't at all true get spread. I will also tell you guys, just to be absolutely honest, some of the rumors that I heard in the last week came from our local community, the people sitting right there in the retreat house. But some of the rumors this week came from our people who are not in the local community. They're in awakening together. They live in other places, but they talk enough to one another for this same phenomenon to occur. And some of you, I'm sure, are not personally that close to anyone, and you kind of don't know anything about any of this, and that's great. But what I want to say is it seems like when people get into, you know, circles, social circles, whether it's a spiritual social circle or not, if they are not extremely careful, and I highlight the words extremely careful, this phenomenon occurs because it's human nature to talk about one another. It's also human nature to mishear what you heard and think you're sharing truth. And it's human nature for your mind to make something up and you not notice that you made it up. Really not notice that you made it up and you're sharing your own made up assumptions as if they're truth. And I really don't want to see this kind of thing bring down our organization. So I thought I would just come here and talk about it, put it right in front of us. Let us contemplate it right here together. So as I've been contemplating gossip this week, and I'll notice, and I'll admit, even noticing sentences that I said to someone and then right after saying it, saying, whoa, that was it, you know? So I'm not saying it's you and not me. I'm saying this has been brought to my awareness this week. I've decided to contemplate, well, what's happening? What's happening? You know, why is this sharing happening? And one of the things that I personally noticed is as we talk to one another about whoever's not there in the moment, there's a sense of bonding with the one we're talking to. In other words, it occurred to me that maybe it's our craving for oneness distorted through the ego that leads to gossip. Imagine that. I mean, you know, the more I looked at this, the more innocent I saw it. Innocent in that it's happening in ignorance. It's not happening out of maliciousness. You know, I go back to that Air Force story, and my first thought as a young person was somebody was really cruel and malicious to start such a lie. But now I see the absolute possibility that that never even happened. What if it's our desire for oneness that causes us to engage in this, in that first song I played, toxic habit? And what if we see it for what it is, a mistake, a distortion, and we decide to hear what Robert Adams heard, which I will read to you again. Remember the purpose for which you came here, which would be oneness, but undistorted, right? Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet. I'm just going to read what Kathy wrote here. She says, sounds like a description of consensus reality. In group behavior, truth is overwritten by what the group decides to believe as true. This same distortion is described in A Course in Miracles, What is Forgiveness? Where judgment and distortion is the purpose of unforgiveness thoughts and not raised to doubt. I love that. Consensus reality, where what the group decides to believe as true, you know, it is truer to them than the truth. And I'll be honest, this is a word of warning to all of us. This is a word of warning. Because we're all humans and we can all accidentally, absent-mindedly engage in human behavior, especially if it's coming from our craving for oneness. And it feels like bonding is occurring in that moment. So I also began to contemplate, well, this is a very strong urge. Like I said, I caught myself doing it a couple times this week. I've been in La Vida all week with the people here, you know, which sometimes I'm usually not as involved with the people here as I was this week. You know, we had the Oktoberfest. I stayed over the weekend, which I usually don't stay over the weekend. So there's a little more opportunity to be involved with the people than usually. Usually I'm actually a little more distant, to be honest, than I was this week. So because of circumstances, I wasn't as distant. I could find myself in the middle of it and myself occasionally saying a sentence or two that I realized right after it came out of my mouth that I shouldn't have said, right? But that's perfect because it gave me the opportunity to contemplate it from having felt it and seen it myself, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So noticing that strong pull for that bonding that comes through sharing with someone else about someone else, I asked, how can we resist this? Because it's actually quite strong. And I came up with two questions. Two questions, both of which that can be asked. I'll type them both in the room just so everybody can look at them. One of those questions is it my business to share this with this person? Is it my business to share this information with this person? Now, occasionally the answer to that is yes. Occasionally, rarely. For example, if there is something going on at the retreat house that Regina should know about because it's not helpful, then there is a reason to share that information with Regina. There's not a reason to share that information with Jay or George or Sherry, and I'm just picking names. So that's one question we can ask. Is it my business to share this with this person? And occasionally the answer to that is yes. The other question is, am I sure this is absolutely true? And I'll tell you, if you aren't the eyewitness to the situation, you aren't sure. So again, I'll just make up different names. If Susan sees something at the retreat house and she tells Helena, and then Helena thinks, wow, Regina should know this, and she tells me. Already, that's most likely not true. Not that anybody did anything purposefully to change the story, just Helena probably didn't hear exactly what Susan said, and she told me, right? So, and also, Helena doesn't know for sure that it's true because she didn't see it. If it needed to be told, the person who should have told me was Susan who saw it, right? If we just ask these two questions before we speak, is it my business to share this with this person? And am I sure this is absolutely true? That could cut the gossip. Also, it occurred to me, and this actually occurred to me this morning as I was looking for songs. You know, it's funny, one of the most challenging jobs about leading a weekly gathering is finding the songs. I was actually going to go over to the retreat house this morning and meditate with them and share the weekly gathering from the retreat house. When I got up this morning, I realized I wouldn't have enough time to pick out the songs. That typically takes me like an hour. And I thought, there's no way I can prepare for the gathering and be at the retreat house by 7 for meditation. So, plus I would have had to shower and get dressed. I'm still in my pajamas now. I didn't have to do that to sit here and lead the gathering, but I would have had to go over there and lead the gathering. So I just thought, you know what, it's much, much better for me to stay home and do this. So as I was at home listening to different songs, and I probably listened to 25 songs this morning, right, finding the songs I wanted. But each of the songs led to contemplation. And one of the things that I began to contemplate as I was listening to those songs is that, you know, we're friends. You might even say family. You've heard the term church family. If we see each and every one of us as my best friend, each and every one of us as my best friend, each and every one of us as someone I love dearly, would we then share anything about them to someone else when they're not there? And doesn't it seem like in Awakening Together that that's kind of the appropriate attitude to have, regardless of how much I know you or don't know you? Doesn't it just seem like we're all best friends? I mean, we share a purpose that most people in the world don't share. What could be more bonding than that? And again, what's getting in the way of this is human nature, but that's also ego nature. You know that, right? And aren't we here to let go of the ego? Isn't that our purpose for coming here, whether we're talking about to the sanctuary, to the website, or to the retreat house, or to La Vida? I mean, you know, I won't look for answers right now, but, you know, each person sitting there at the retreat house that lives in La Vida, I mean, why did you move here? Did you move here to participate in gossip and all that normal stuff that happens in normal ego-based communities? So did you move here for another purpose? And what are you attending to? Let me just read those words again that Ramana Maharshi said to his attendant. Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet. Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet. And again, I'd like to point out that's not just for the people who live in La Vida, because some of the rumors I heard came through non-local members. There's a story in NTI. It's probably an NTI mark. I'm sure it is. It's a retelling of the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. An NTI mark, it retells all the stories, but it was never indicated to me that this is the truth. It was still indicated to me as the scribe that these are stories, right? But what it was indicated to me was that the stories were better symbols for awakening than the stories the way they're told in the Bible. And so they were being retold in a slightly different way to be better symbols for those of us who want to awaken. And so in the retelling of the story of the Garden Gethsemane, as we know, one thing that happens is Judas goes off and tells the Jewish authorities where Jesus is so they can arrest him. And the authorities, the soldiers, come into the Garden of Gethsemane after Jesus has fully surrendered. And they arrest Jesus and they take him away. And what sets in then? Among the apostles, again, very close to Jesus, right, is panic and imagination. Each of the apostles begins to imagine what he thinks is going to happen next, and he reacts based on what he just made up and believed. Every one of them. And they take off in all different directions doing whatever they did. We're never privy to those different stories. We know what Peter did, but most of them were not privy to the stories. They all scatter, take off in different directions based on what they just made up in their mind, what they believed. And they probably, you know, we don't know this, but they might have even gone and told other people and got other people involved in their scurrying, right? But what NTI says, except for one apostle. It doesn't tell us who that was, and different people have, see, this is how we make this stuff up right here. Different people that have read NTI, people have told me, oh, that was John, or oh, that was Mary Magdalene. See, right there we make stuff up and believe it. NTI doesn't tell us who it was. It says one apostle, all right? That's the fact. One apostle stays in the garden and goes within. We don't know what that apostle was doing. Could have been dealing with fear, practicing rest, accept, and trust. You know, we aren't told what the apostle was doing. But we're told that one apostle stays in the garden and goes within. There's one apostle who's not making up stuff, believing it, and acting based on what he or she just made up. But then NTI says, and this is the important part. You can be that one apostle. And that's what Robert Adams did. Although I would love it if every one of us took our purpose seriously and let go of ego at every opportunity, including not engaging in this type of conversation, which is gossip and rumor spreading. I promise you, I'm sorry, it's never going to happen. Just like it didn't happen at Ramana Ashram. The humans are going to be humans. I'm sad about it as I say it. They're going to continue to judge each other. They're going to complain about each other. They're going to talk about each other behind each other's back. They're going to believe their own stories. Now I'm talking about people right here and awakening together. It's going to happen. But you can be that one apostle. Robert Adams was. Interesting, the crowd thought Robert Adams was the mad one. And maybe, let's just pretend like, you know, you move to La Vida, whoever you are, but you decide to take this guidance seriously, and you aren't engaged in what the other people in La Vida are engaged in, and nobody likes you as a result, because it doesn't sound like they really liked Robert Adams. It's okay. It's okay if they make up stories about you, if they say you're distant, you're uninvolved, you must not like anyone. It's okay. Because when we bond in that way, we're bonding through ego. That's not the bonding we really want. That's not the oneness we're looking for, is it? I mean, really, why did you come here? Because you can find that anywhere, anywhere where people gather. Let me just read this last part of the story again, and then I'll stop. The next morning, Robert went to the old hall to meet Bhagavan. What happened in the presence of the Maharshi guided him deep within. The silence and quietude of Bhagavan engulfed him. When he entered the hall, Bhagavan's attendant, Krishna Swami, was pestering Bhagavan with complaints about people at the ashram. After tolerating this for a while, Bhagavan looked sternly at Krishna Swami and said, "Remember the purpose for which you came here. Attend to it. Keep quiet." This was the very first instruction Robert got from Bhagavan. Although it was directed to Krishna Swami, Robert felt it was actually meant for him. For the next 3 years, his focus was within, and he stayed in the state of silence and quietude, never outwardly indulging himself in other people's affairs. Inwardly, he was established in quietude during this period, and outwardly in non-indulgence. There was no need for him to talk further to Bhagavan or to anyone else. That is why nobody knew Robert Adams, even though he stayed at Ramana Ashram for 3 years. Afterward, when I clarified this, one or two said that there was a young mad fellow by the name of Robert Adams. To that extent, he followed Bhagavan's teachings of non-indulgence with others. He was not talking and was doing practice all the time and remaining in that state. All right, so I am going to play a brief song so that we can contemplate this. It will be the prayer of St. Francis. And for those of you who went to Italy last October, you're going to see several of the places that we went in this particular video. If you are interested in making a donation to help support Awakening Together, Don will give you a link, and you can also do that during this song.
Channel of your peace.
All right, so this is an opportunity for someone to share. We don't have a lot of time. Of course, we have the fellowship afterwards, but is there someone who would like to share based on today's homily?
I have to say that I'm speechless. That was just a beautiful, beautiful morning and a message for me to look at, which I have been looking at, on how quickly you get with people. And in the morning, I walk the dog, and there's people that walk their dogs, and they all do it together. And I've been guided to not walk with them because they're talking a lot, and it's all gossip, and it's all, you know. And what I've seen is that the ego does want, in some way, to distract us, but in another way, it's trying to give us like a fake sense of oneness. So yes, when we bond with people, usually, like I went to Al-Anon when my son fell into addiction, so there was bonding on that problem, you see, but the solution I went deeper for, because the solution is always me. I'm at cause. It's like what Jay said, if I see something in someone else, it's my own thoughts that are really making it all up. So that can help me. But the song of, you know, Frank Sam, it just made me speechless, tears. And it's a lot of tears of joy that I've gotten recently of just realizing my purpose in a bigger way. Thanks, Regina.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Retreat House says, all I want to say is that I'm feeling very humbled. Thank you so much for this sharing, Regina. And Jay says, nice CC footage. Yeah, when I found that, I thought that since it's also been almost a year now, right, since we were there, I thought, because of course, as you know, that song is all over. I could have even picked a better singer, but I thought it would be fun to look at the scenes. Plus, what she really represented in that video was being alone, being silent, being contemplative as she walked around by herself, right? And that was Isadora that said thank you from the retreat house. Does anyone else want to share? We have time for about one more sharing. Okay, Jacqueline.
Yeah, it occurs to me that in addition to what you've shared, the way the thinking mind, ego, confused mind, me, wants to get around that is saying this is really important to be shared because this is important for my growth and it's really bothering me, so I need you to tell me how to handle it. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about this other person, right? So we just need to be mindful of that as well. You know, if you know, maybe you are sharing for that reason, but probably not. So thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you. And I would say God gave us all journals. <You know? laughs> And you might even be better off talking in your journal to inner wisdom than to another person. And if you do feel you need to talk to another person, then probably the first question to ask is this the right person for me to share this with for this purpose, right? So let's see what's written here, and then I'll play my song. Let's see who wrote this. This is from Meg. Gossip and being the topic of gossip forced my focus away from my human nature and more toward the unaffected silence. I thank the untrue rumors today because it increased my attention for truth alone. Very challenging, but I know it was by my request. I'm under the weather today, so no sharing verbally, but thank you so much for the message. So what I'm going to do is play my closing song. This is a reminder that we're all best friends. You know, all of us with each other, even if we've never met. This is, you know, it was a theme song for the Golden Girls. thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way.
My hat is off. Won't you stand up and take a bow? And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, well, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. 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 If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac. Whatever you need, any time of the day or night, I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow? And when we both get older, with walking canes and hair of gray, have no fear, even though it's hard to hear, I will stand you close and say thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Let me tell you about a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
So thank you, friends, for coming and gathering here with me today. Loved seeing the dancing at the retreat house. And I usually can't hang around for the fellowship because Ron's got breakfast, but I can today because he's not here. So releasing the mic.